So today's passage, the gospel reading, is at the end of a striking rebuke from Jesus to the Pharisees. But it's only the final section of a much longer and no less forceful passage. And I'll tell you what I mean. If you go back two verses, you'll read this. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Blind Pharisees. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Now, in these verses, we hear Jesus rebuking the Pharisees for their empty, false religious practices. They're so focused on the outside of what others think of them and how self-righteous they believe their stances before God that they never turn inward and recognize how broken and how distant from God they are. Now, Jesus uses the words cups and dish. But as I reflect on this passage, all I can think about is Tupperware. And Jesus tells me in this passage that I keep my Tupperware clean on the outside, but inside, it's dirty and it's tightly covered to hide that filth and that smell of my own sinfulness. And I'm not the only one carrying it around. We all have our own. Each one of us. And we store in it our own greed, our own self-indulgence, all of that sinfulness that we collect throughout the year. And it doesn't matter what your belief is, what your background, what your actions. You carry the container, and inside it are two different things. And that's what I'd like to look at tonight. The first one is rotting food. Now, I know that sounds unpleasant. That's partially the point. It's because we know it's rotting in there. Sometimes we don't even want to open it. Now, for some, this food is false religious beliefs. They believe the financial blessings, the physical well-being, the spiritual well-being can all be realized only after they build a strong enough faith in God. For others, the food is simply a false belief that God doesn't exist. And for others, it's the same food that the Pharisees had. These works that lead to a self-righteous standing before God. And they believe that it's by their works that they earn a right into heaven. Now, the list could go on. But at the core of these examples is a poison that we create ourselves. When we place ourselves equal to God and we take our own paths, we've created it. When we ignore God, we've created it. And when we replace God with other gods in our lives, we've created it. And it's this poison that destroys everything it touches. Every decision we make, our relationship with God, everything. And the fruits of the work that we do for others, that we add to our container, immediately becomes contaminated and rots. And once it rots, it has to be discarded. Because there's nothing salvageable. In fact, it might even be dangerous to carry it around with you. Because you run the risk of completely corrupting and destroying your faith. And Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Here, Jesus instructs us that we must discard anything that turns us away from him, or we risk losing our saltiness, our faith. Now, the second category is smell. This is that heavy heart of disbelief in God's love. It's a belief that we're not good enough to stand before him. That we're not good enough to be loved by Him, and we never will be. Now, this is what Jesus talks about in His sermon when He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." You see, Christ tells us that these people are blessed, not because He wants them in this condition. It's because they are in this condition. It's this broken condition where Jesus works. It's in this condition that Jesus heals and pulls them close. And in Him, they find salvation and blessing. These are the people that have already discarded the food of self-righteousness. They've completely emptied themselves, but can't believe that Christ's sacrifice and God's grace will ever be enough to cover their sins. They're afraid to even approach God for fear of rejection, so they scrub their containers. And they scrub it with guilt and with this heavy heart in hopes of removing that smell. Because they know, they just know if they can get it clean and get the smell out, God will finally accept them. So they scrub and they scrub, but nothing works. Now, I've said before that everybody carries this around. And although you can't look inside others, you can always tell what category they're mostly carrying around by how tightly they have it sealed. You see, if it's a rotten food that they're carrying around, the top's on loose. Maybe it's even taken off. They walk around and they show off how rotten their food is, how self-righteously rotten, all while believing that it's gloriously beautiful and good to eat. They boast of their works. They boast of their standings before God. And they might even ask you, "How can you even be close to me if you won't remove the top of your container?" Clearly, you have no right to stand in the presence of God. That was what was in the containers of the Pharisees. Now, then there are those that carry their containers around with the tightly closed, so that no smell can escape. They might even hide their containers out of embarrassment. And even though they tell themselves that the cover's on tight, they still imagine that some of that smell is escaping. And so they hide it just to be sure. And it's this group of people that concerns God more. Not just because they're so broken inside, but because they're so susceptible to the first group of people. The self-righteous people seek out the meek and the humble, and they offer fake religious solutions that don't ever require them to open up their containers. They sell them ways that they can carry around these containers, add to it, cover the smell. They promise all of these promises, and it destroys their faith, and it disconnects them from God. And this is what Jesus was so furious about in today's reading. It wasn't enough that the Pharisees were showing off their food. They were teaching these crushed souls that happiness in heaven could only be found in the works that they performed and that the laws they kept. They were promising righteousness through obedience to those leaders instead of to Christ. Now, we are in our Lenten season, and it's this time when we as a church together pull off the cover of our Tupperware and look inside. Now, we discard the rotten food that we find, the self-righteousness, the works, the false religious beliefs, whatever's in there, we toss it. But more than that, we remind each other that there's nothing that we can do about the smell. We can't wash it clean. All we can do is turn to Christ. And it's only through His death and resurrection, the spilling of His blood, that our containers are truly emptied and washed clean. And it's during this time of Lent that we pray for ourselves But we also need to pray for each other. We pray for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to help us empty ourselves, to humble ourselves before God, and to prepare for the washing from Jesus. And we remind ourselves that Easter is just around the corner, and that it will be a time of celebration. A celebration that our containers are free of food, free of smell, and as clean on the inside as it is on the outside. And it's clean because of Him, and only because of Him. Now, this is the renewal that we are called into during Lent. It's the renewal of true religion, and it happens when we confess that the religion of our goodness is false. We have a God who receives us, who communes with us. He doesn't leave us in our sins. He washes our hearts clean. And we're able to then say there's hope for others, because look what God has done and look what God is still doing for me. This is the renewal of true religion, that we remember how much we have been helped by Christ. And we begin to look for others to help. It's a service rendered not out of fear, not out of obligation, but out of thankfulness. We are loved by the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And we love each other as an offshoot of that relationship. This goes beyond mere religion. It's a life that we're all looking for. And it's here for us, for you and for me today. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please pray with me. It's recorded in the letter of John, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Lord, I hear these words and I place them on my heart. But as the days go by and the responsibilities of life consume me, these words fade away and I begin to question Your love. I don't mean to, but I do. I begin to wonder if You really love me after knowing my past. I begin to wonder if You would love me after knowing my thoughts. And I begin to wonder if You would love me, period. Because sometimes I can't love myself. And Lord, tonight I cry out to You in my emptiness. I ask that You take my container and You clean it, for I cannot do it myself. I ask that You comfort me and make Your presence known, because I feel far from You. Lord, in this Lenten season, remind me how much You love me. Remind me that Your love is so overwhelming that I will never comprehend it. And remind me that You came to earth, lived a perfect life, and died for me, not because I was good enough, but because I was so bad that I could not have done it myself. And Lord, in this season, help me remember how much I love You. Help me remember to praise and thank You for all that You have done. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen.